What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the DraftKings collab. I think everybody's been waiting on this. I know since we started our show, this is something that I was interested in doing. No two men I respect for the way that they live life, for the way that they played the game, more than Stack and Matt, obviously Chan and Freddie T, but more importantly, what they're doing post-career, I think is a step above. Like, so many people want to get into the business of broadcast, of media. I don't think everybody can figure out how to do it and continue to remain their authentic selves. I think both of these brothers have done that, and they've done it in a way where they can go into any office building and do business, right? But they can also walk into any hood and have conversations with the same people that look like them. I think that's the important part about what we do, is being able to bring this, right, into the buildings of people that don't look like us.
Why are you talking about them like We ain't no good entrepreneurs.
Because he talk about y'all every day.
Let us give y'all flowers. Thank you. I'm sensitive. I'm light skinned. I get sensitive sometimes.
Y'all know Chan always ready to take off, right?
Some of these two brothers doing so well. Goddamn, I'm doing well too.
Well, let us return the favor.
Okay.
Okay. First off, we honored to be here with y'all. And we can say the same things. I think just from watching all y'all careers, and we know what it takes to be in this space, and we know how hard we get critiqued as athletes who've actually done it, right? They'll go to a hospital and let a doctor tell them, I need to cut you up and do this. And they'll be like, okay. But we actually did the sport and are the experts at it. But when we talk about it, we get critiqued. So I respect how y'all handle that. I respect how y'all support each other. You know, I see many shows, and I was just talking about it, about how we know he always real humble, don't say too much, but y'all kept giving him his flowers and was like, bro, be proud of yourself. You really right. done some great shit. So I appreciate that, and I love seeing brothers give each other their flowers daily and also winning together. So salute to y'all too.
Appreciate it.
And also too, I just think, you know, Ryan and your crew, you guys have kind of set the standard for what it's supposed to be like. You know what I mean? And I think both sides, I mean, we've done it from a basketball standpoint. You guys have done it from a football standpoint, but also understanding that the platform that we were given, we've also understood that that's going to lead to other opportunities,
right.
Individually and collectively. And I think that's what, you know, you love to see is, you know, you on ESPN, me on ESPN, you guys doing other individual things that have stemmed from coming together and fellowshipping and really just talking shit and having a good time. You know what I mean? And to be able to be paid like we are still athletes too is another blessing.
You know me, I'm a man of like this many words, but no, that's love, man. And we try to lead with positivity. You know we have a lot to offer in our experiences, but we feel like we have a bigger agenda, you know, just really giving back to our community and doing it the right way. So I think from all of our experiences and just trying to bridge the gap, it makes it worthwhile, you know, to come here. I know, I'm not sure how you guys do it, but we're on the flight every week. We grind and we hustle and we try to make it happen. And once we, you know, decided to do this, we said we got to do it nonstop. And that's what the ultimate pivot is. So everything you see us give y'all, we're doing it out of our hearts.
The question I would have for y'all though is, like the way, like everybody who plays a sport ain't tough, right? Like you know cats that are athletic, cats that are talented, and their job was to go play the sport. And then there were other people who had a different sort of grind in the way they approached it. Both of you guys, being guys that kept it real on the court, right? That played physically, played the game with skill, with technique, but also seemed like y'all were always ready to be whatever you had to be to help a team win. And now you move into this other realm of life, this other part of media, where people expect you to be buttoned up. People expect you to speak a certain way, act a certain way, sort of retreat into yourselves. How have you maintained the exact people you were growing up and now flipped it into the second career?
I mean, I just think what has allowed us to have success post NBA is just authenticity. I think, you know, what you see is what you get with us. Never perfect, but always real. I think through our career, we understood the assignment. We both got drafted, but didn't make our first run at the NBA. So we had to take different journeys to get to where we are, to both end up winning NBA championships, to both respectively play 15 and 14 years in the league, is through who we really are. So, I mean, I think that drive as an athlete. One thing we talked to Kobe about, we did Kobe's last interview, and you know, he told us, you know, as athletes, we're disciplined, we're structured, we're thinkers. All those things transfer over to business. Yeah. And I think, you know, everyone handles those qualities different, but as long as you stay true to yourself and transfer and put the work in, because a lot of people think, oh man, I can do a podcast. Shit ain't easy. Yeah. Like they said, we're on flights every single week, tracking people down, doing our homework for our other shows, being fathers, being businessmen, being partners. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this. So we treat this as if this is our next act. Although we're not physically on the field or the court, this is our next act, and we treat it as if we are still on the field or the court.
And I just think I've always had the attitude of I appreciate everything. So my attitude in the game was, I got to prove myself constantly. I wasn't Kobe, I wasn't none of them, but I was a player that competed with everybody. So I always played with a passion and played the game like I appreciate it. So coming into this space, I tell my team, I tell him every day, bro, I appreciate you. Because there's so many people that, especially retired athletes, that don't have nothing going on, don't get the opportunity the opportunities that we get in after sports. So I tell my team all the time, I appreciate them, and we work so hard, like this is our last show, we won't have another show. We appreciate everything we get, and I think that's why we're winning. And we appreciate our fans too, because we constantly show the people that support us that we appreciate them. That's why we always out in the community. That's why we talk to people and engage on social media. Because we've never been the type that get the success from our fans, but don't relate with them or interact with them. You know what I'm saying? I've always been somebody that's always in the streets and like to be around the people, because that's the people that make us, always made us. They gave us the the motivation to make it, being in the hoods with so many people saying you can't, so many people that didn't make it, that's the motivation we get to make it. So just appreciating my people around me, appreciating the gift and the opportunity to be in this podcast space, that's what keep me going.
And this space, and it's funny, y'all both talking about the transition out of sports and this space that we're in. I don't think you can chase money, because that was the one thing. I do local radio in South Florida. I was working for, I think, what was it, 27 grand a year. It wasn't about the check. It was about the experience of working, communicating and all that stuff. And did y'all ever have that time when it was like, it couldn't be about money because you weren't making no money once you transitioned? And I think a lot of, I would say, and take it deeper, I think a lot of athletes struggle from making those millions, whatever it is, and then why am I going to work harder to make 40 grand? Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
did y'all, was it ever a time like that with y'all, any of y'all?
I think it's just understanding we got to pay our dues now. You know, as former athletes, sometimes we get tossed to the top of the totem pole, or sometimes we get tossed to the bottom. So depending on every situation is, you know, how you maneuver and how you react. So as you said, you know, jumping into Fox at first and then ESPN and understanding it's not a ton of money, it's not what I'm used to making, but I understand it's a hell of a platform.
Yeah.
To have my face on ESPN, have my face on Fox, to have my face on NBC Bay Area, have my face on Showtime. So my whole thing now is in this next act, my initial plan was to have my face on as many quality platforms as possible until one of them that I really, really want to do can take over all of them.
Let me ask you a question, Ryan. I fell into a big space with George Floyd and becoming a speaker for the culture.
Yeah.
And I think you fell into that space, and I'm honored to say that. And even with sports and the culture, having that role,
yeah,
knowing eyes are always on you, knowing that people are expecting your opinion to be what they want you to say, and it's not that all the time. How do you handle that with being on TV and being, you know, out with the people, because everybody don't agree with everything you say?
Sure, I think y'all said it right at the beginning, though. If you authentic, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Right, like I always say, it's easier for me to tell the truth because lies are hard to remember, right? So if I'm the same every time, that doesn't mean you have to agree with me. Because what normally happens is if there's something that you speak out on and a mass or majority of people agree with you, they feel like they want to agree with you all the time.
Right.
But now I'm talking for you, I'm not talking for me. And I think the other piece of it is too, like every fight ain't my fight.
Right.
You know, you had a connection to yep. George Floyd. You
yes.
had a passion
yes.
for that. And so you not only put your time into it and your money into it, but you put your face on it,
yeah.
right? It's different when people see you and they connect you to something,
right.
because now forever you're connected to that. And I think for me, it was just like, right is right. You know what I mean? And I get it all the time now, right? Like if I even say anything that has to do with race or culture, it's, cause that's the new keyword, right? Is race baiter,
yeah.
right? That word was created through this tumultuous time because they needed something that could discredit the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the people that use that word, they say, okay, if we use this immediately turns the people who follow us to make this person feel or feel like this person is something else. But if I'm me, I don't give a damn no way.
Right.
Right? And that was the thing, you know, and I tell this story all the time. I've told them in 2016, 2017 during Kaepernick, they stopped putting me on TV.
Mm.
Right? They would come in a production meeting and be like, well, the president said this, how do you feel about this? Or the president said this about athletes, how do you feel about this? And I'd give my answer. Y'all know how production meetings
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
You do the show before you do the show.
Yeah.
And then they go, are you gonna say that on TV? And I'd be like, hell yeah. And they'd be like, well, we're not gonna ask you, mm. right? And in some of that I respect them, because in some of that, at that time, they were saving me.
From yourself.
Right, because if I go out there and I say that, now I'm viewed a certain way.
Yep.
But then, let's fast forward to 2020, when you were a big part of it. Now, y'all know, I'm on days off. I'm at the house not doing nothing. Hey man, can you come on TV today? Your voice is so needed.
Yeah.
The people want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And the thing I always say about that was, I was able to say I never switched up.
Right.
Right, I was able to say I didn't change up because they wouldn't put me on TV.
Right.
Right, I stayed myself. And I think that's what's important, because even if they don't agree with me, they know I'm not doing it for anybody else.
Wrong reason,
that's
yeah.
truly what I feel.
And also I think too is something that's important is that we're not always gonna agree with each other. We always gonna have different viewpoints, but I think, and Jack says all the time, you can disagree without disrespecting.
Yes.
And I think now when people don't agree with you, they wanna attack your person, your character, your family. and we all ready to fight at any given time. You know what I mean? So that's why we really got to be careful. But I think there's ways to, for me to disagree with Fred or me to disagree with Channing or even Stack, but still have a conversation with respect. Because again, at the end of the day, we're all learning, we're all evolving. Yeah. And I think some people get so set in their ways that they block something that could truly help them. Or sometimes they'll kill the message because they don't like the messenger.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I just think we have to really be more open-minded and understand there's always going to be another opinion. There's always going to be another point of view that you don't necessarily have to agree with, but hear it out if that's the space you're in.
Freddie T, and I give him this because like me, I'm like, when I hear it, I'm ready too. Like we realized we had to start protecting each other in public. You know what I mean?
He probably calculated.
He's always thinking. He's always the one that's measured. And he'll be like, okay, RC, like, nah, I don't do this. RC, I don't know about that. And that's how I know, like, when he go, it calms me down. Because I'm like, hell, if Fred pissed off.
Fred got mad.
We all got chill.
Fred you know? Got mad.
Y'all know I be chilling, man. Nah, but seriously, I think, you know, just the reason why we're here, DraftKings, obviously, and it, I guess this is for everybody. Have you guys on your platform, and then Channing and Ryan, how do you use DraftKings platform to foster certain connections, you know, and be able to get certain messages out?
I think that DraftKings comes with a different demographic for us and for you guys. Yep. You know what I mean? So it's always a new opportunity to meet new people, shake new hands, and hear new points of views, but also get our point of view across to a whole new audience. Gain fans, and sometimes they won't like what we say and possibly lose them. But at the same time, to me, it's about, again, like I said earlier, my goal with being on different platforms, I'm speaking to some similar audience, but sometimes all these networks I'm talking to have different audiences that are in love with that particular network. So for me to be on four different mainstream networks is the opportunity to meet new people and foster new relationships and be brought into new situations. And a lot of things with athletes, too, as we're talking at the business side and the tech side, you know, we're able to get into stuff. Sometimes you got to put money in, but sometimes just your likeness alone is enough for these brands to build something around you or give you a piece of what they have because they like what you stand for, the way you carry yourself, and the way you could educate, what's the word I'm looking for when I'm trying to sound smart? Eloquently speak, or really speak eloquently. That's what it is. Speak on the matter at hand. So again, I just think it is, we're always looking because especially, you know, with Jack and I, we were the bad guys. You know, he got in one of the biggest fights in NBA history and lost the whole season.
Yeah.
I fought off the court, and everyone knows the reason but
you've been wanting to ask that question the whole time.
You can ask me whatever you want. I think people see a snapshot of you and give you a label. Oh, well, that's who, Jack's a thug because he went in the stands and protected his teammate. Or I'm a bad guy because I had to do some shit that I had to do. But again, it's always a small snapshot, and we really enjoy kind of changing ideals of who people. What you got to say, Chad? I know you got some shit to say.
I asked this question. I was like, can I ask this question? Yeah. They're like, no, we talking about transitioning.
Ask it.
How in the fuck you drive for 20 hours mad? Nigga, like, hour one, hour two, hour three, hour four. Like, you gotta sit back sooner or later.
So that was the urban legend because Kanye rapped about it. I really only drove 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
See? Master. Bro, I was like,
quick,
this
quick
man.
Trip.
Cause I am know, so like, happy I, to know
bro,
that, man.
Cause I was about to say, like, I know us light-skinned fellas, like, we won't be mad that long. Like, sooner or later.
I was back in the house firing one up in, like, 45 minutes.
Oh.
Quick round trip.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, quick round trip.
It's easy to stay mad that long.
Yeah.
That's simple.
15.
Yeah. I think, though, like, to the other space that I love what Matt's talking about, though, is actually using the platforms. Because there's only so long your name truly stays hot, right? There's a time when you're a player and you're, you know, y'all mentioned it. Like, you mentioned not being Kobe and those, like, those guys are going to get first dibs at a lot of things, right? And so when you do get your opportunities, I say this all the time, every day is an interview.
Yeah.
Every hand you shake, every conversation you have, somebody's looking at you and trying to critique you and figure out what can they use you for. And so while people are using us to give them that face or to give them that voice, we have to be using that platform as well for the next step, for that step, or for the next hand we get to shake where we walk into a different room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, to the point of why this works and like the DraftKings connection and the podcasting, because podcasting blew up, the tech side blew up and all. I know we're gonna talk about that, but I always say it as like people aren't used to seeing five alpha males sit down and not fight? To what you said, like, we disagree, oh, now we gotta fight. No, we ain't gotta fight. We disagree and we respect each other. Right. And I really believe as if this podcasting space, especially with ex-athletes, is like, oh, these are males that run their, I call dudes like, not myself, these four, ecosystems. Like, ecosystems are people that employ people and like, everybody's making money off you just being alive. And a lot of people don't know that. And I've been around, I know, I hang with a lot of these ecosystems, I call them lions. And people aren't used to, so somebody that's really not a lion, that sees five lions sitting around and just vibing, and we disagree, we good to disagree, we cool to disagree. I think that might calm their little inside fire of wanting to,
well, fuck you, buddy. No.
So why your voice went to there?
Take though? It easy, because that's you as a dude that get real hot. The fuck you, buddy, dude, be hot.
Fuck you, buddy.
But that's why I really think this works as I go through and I go on pause and I sit around with my two G's, you know, weekly, and then just watching y'all from afar, like, seeing, like, these are lions. These are men. This is a dude that sit in the car and be hot for 20 hours. That was in my mind, Matt. I thought you was hot for 20 hours.
Lie. When I tell the story going forward, it's still 20 hours.
And then I saw this man. I saw this man throw a punch.
From here?
From here. Damn, you wanted to fuck him up.
So what a lot of y'all don't know is when I grabbed Ron, another beer was thrown in his face.
Yep.
And he tried to throw the beer and get away. So I couldn't let that slide.
But also, too, I want to say, you know, look how far we've come, and really shout out to DraftKings, because none of us, as we said, none of us, with all due respect, were superstars in our sport. We were role players and got the job done. But for us to be one of the talking heads for such a big company, and not just DraftKings, we're all affiliated with other companies, but look how far we've come, and it's because we've been able to articulate our point of view. Everyone's always told our stories, and, yeah. And with all due respect, most of the time it's white people trying to tell our stories, and sometimes they do a good job, but sometimes they miss shit that we see. Other people may not see, but we see it. But I think we've been able to transition now to be able to obviously tell our own stories, give our brothers and sisters the opportunity to tell our own stories, but then also encourage others. I can't tell you how many times people from the league have come like, yo, we started our show because of All the Smoke, or we want to be this version of All the Smoke. And when we started this, it wasn't necessarily to inspire is the greatest human act. And that wasn't necessarily first on top of our mind, but once we kind of got into it and we started getting that feedback, we took that as a badge of honor because we are opening these doors. And Ryan said before we got on camera, it's athlete driven now. Media is athlete driven when we're talking about sports in particular. And I know you guys would rather hear from with our brother Stephen A. Smith, as great as he is, he doesn't know what it's like to have to knock down a free throw to send a game into overtime, or to make a big play, or get across the goal line for a touchdown. So although he's great at what he does, when it comes from the people who really did it, I think he obviously carries more weight and respect.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, Matt, you talk about, you know, the evolution, right? Starting from about having your struggles, then going up. The three of you, RC was undrafted. You know, you guys had your early challenges. Yeah. But the three of you won championships. Channing and I, we're on the outside looking
in. Way to say it. I love it. Hey, guys, by the way.
It had to be said.
I just want to say.
If I didn't say it, you were going to say it.
I say it every show when I'm joined by other champions. There are certain things we can talk about that Fred and Channing cannot.
Damn.
You know?
This is
when,
true.
When Matt was mentioning some of those free throws, you know,
man,
some of those
you.
Moments.
I'm sorry. I know I was feeling, because y'all are intelligent people. I'm in a different realm, but man, fuck you.
But the point I'm trying to make, and I'm trying to make a crossover, right? I want to talk about, like, you guys' career. It's sort of like what we have here with technology and what the message we're trying to get across. From the beginning, technology just evolves over time, pretty much like your careers, and then, but you don't know what it's gonna give you. There's been plenty of times where I try to log into my DraftKings account to get that 1 o'clock parlay. I'm like, fuck, the Wi-Fi fucked up. I can't get my play in. But eventually it happens, and then it's a beautiful thing because I'm here. But I'm able to play the games all across the world, and that is the beauty on the flip side of technology. Pretty much like your careers. It was some struggles early on, but at the end of the day, those championships have to mean something.
Yeah.
So from you guys' perspectives, what's that feeling like? Because I wasn't able to feel it.
I'm gonna say this.
I really want to know what's that feeling.
I think the one thing too that I want to say about you, because you won't say it. Is our careers were very similar.
Yours
was not.
Right. You know what? I didn't want to check, yeah. Matt.
No,
this is my
first time seeing
in person.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm a huge fan. You definitely did your thing.
Yeah. I did some Hall of Fame shit.
Yeah. You did.
Exactly.
No,
I'm just gonna be honest. Exactly. And he'd have jumped up, Frasier.
By the time you say it, By the time you say it,
nah, where Bun B at? I told Bun B I love him to death. I love his music. I used to tax them texts.
He did. And so like I think that's the other thing though. And like even as it pertains to like the content and the way technology works, it's also understanding, I think when you have a certain career, it makes your grind different.
Right.
Like I'm just a worker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Nature.
Like you know it, like Chan knows it. Like when we go into a show, man, like I barely talk. Because like I got my notebook out, I got my phone out, or whatever, I'm taking notes, right? I'm trying to tell them, okay, we're gonna do this. Like if they say this, like my thing is always being prepared. And the reason I'm like that was, like, I knew most days ain't nothing I could do with Randy Moss anyway, right? But if I prepare enough, there may be that one play I can anticipate. There may be the one hit I can make that changed the game. I'm not gonna change it constantly. I'm not gonna do what he does because I wasn't that blessed talent-wise. You know what I mean? And I think now when you switch up and you get into this, like that's the other thing is people, I'm trying to not say this in like a bad way, but there aren't a lot of guys who were superstars who end up being good at this part of
right.
it.
Right.
Right. Because there is so much work in it. And there is like, there's some shit you got to shovel sometimes. Right. Like you got to be able to deal with some things where you aren't the superstar. You know, like when you walk out there with Stephen A, that's his world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like they gonna cater to him more than they gonna cater to me.
Yep.
Right? And so you gotta figure out how I'm gonna work and how I'm gonna get to a point though to where that flips. Like my thing was, like just like in ball, my thing is now on TV is like, even though y'all my dogs and I'm working with y'all, when I'm finished, I want people to be like, one of them things is not the same, and it's him.
He kills it.
He different.
Right. Yeah. You but also mean? Too, I think what makes you guys work and us work is being a star in your role. So whatever that role is, like, and I say with all due respect, like I'm the quarterback on our team. And Jack was the one that told me that, like, hey, you're in charge. When you, cause I do the business side. When you're in the meetings, I know I'm in the room with you. So when you got people you love and trust and you can fall into your role, I remember one of the things that Doc Rivers told me with the Clippers was, you know, we got Blake Griffin, we got Chris Paul. Those are our superstars. Everyone else can still be a star in their role. And when you buy into what your role is, you can do whatever you want and be prosperous. And one thing too is when you're in your own lane, there's never traffic. Like we all feel there's a ton of podcasts out here right now.
That's real.
But I don't feel like none of them are in competition with me and Stack because we bring a different dynamic. And on the flip side, there's a ton of podcasts in their space. And I don't feel like none of them are in a competition with the Pivot because they move a certain way and do different shit. Yeah, we might be slimmer because we had the same past, but we move way different now. So being a star in your role, and that's not just in life.
In life, yeah.
In business, in your family, in your home, there's just find what that role is. And although you can possibly wear multiple hats, master what that role is, and then you can branch out and do some other things.
Yeah, I know you about to take it, but the one thing you said though that's powerful is that he told you that.
Yeah.
Right? It's different. Like you could feel it. But if he feels it too, like that's the synergy.
RC, you know? It's funny. So that's why I call it. It's what we do. We do that. He'll be like, RC, you gonna start it. You're an orator. You speak beautifully and you say every fucking letter in all your words. Start it out. Freddie, you're gonna give people flowers. Like we literally, like as y'all see the shows, y'all get the unk vibe. You get, you know what I'm saying? Like we get the vibe and people don't hear this a lot, but as y'all talk, we talk. And be like, and even RC or Fred will throw me stuff, be like, Chan, it's some wild shit.
Yeah.
And something I didn't even see with my research. And they be like, yeah.
Hey, like it's Bobby. It was Bobby Smurder, and I had read that the little chick.
Read that the man made his penis bleed.
Yeah, that's it.
I was like, RC, that's not your place.
I gave it to you.
He said, RC, he showed me the story, and I read it in the car, and I was like, I got you, bro.
Yeah, that's it. All right, that's it.
Because I can ask him with that country dumb. What happened with that that one girl that said, I knew the story already, but I could do that. She said something happened to your little man. And now we're going to get the story. Oh, and that's but we throw it off each other. Even if I see something with Fred and I'm like, Fred, this dude did this charity-wise.
Yep.
Like, nobody looks at me to tell you about no charities. Like, God, what the fuck you talking about? You help us again. Right. I'll be like, Freddie, this dude done gave $75,000 last year to this dude. Right. So and you say the point guard, so we got three and y'all got two, but we really do the same thing, but it's really winning. It's all about winning.
It's all about the common goal.
And everybody wants to win.
Yeah. And I think what's good too is like you said, when you know your role or your space,
I feel like we can all ask the same question and get five different answers because of the way we frame it, or because of the way he can relate to giving back, and he can throw some shit in there that we may not know. Or when you're talking about little dicks bleeding, you might be able to throw some stuff in there that...
Why I gotta be a little dick?
No, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the story. I don't know nothing about that.
I kick my
but
leg,
I'm just saying, I say all that to say it's just like when you know your lane and your role, you can relate and you can put a little bit more personality and personal experience behind the question and get more out of the person because we're coming from the right angles with the questions.
Stack, for you, right, like what I love about y'all shows is when people sit down with y'all, you see a different side of, right? And I think part of it is being able to relate through the player vibe, but the other part is like, hey man, like I know you are a real one. For you, how do you use that though to draw people in, but then get them to open up to you about things they don't do with other people?
I think for us is everything we've been through in our life has been in the media or been on out in the open. We wear emotions on our sleeve. And I think we want that. We want to come off as super vulnerable. We want to come off as not knowing everything, because a lot of times when our guests come on, we learning from our guests. We learning who they are at the same time. But a lot of times the way to soften up your guests or to wake them, make them be more comfortable with you is by telling your own experience. So you know that they can relate to you, right? So I think a lot of times with me and Matt, like even with the brawl, you talk about the driving up with the Derek Fisher stuff, everything we've been through, but even with me calling off my wedding, you know, as the George Floyd stuff, like most of our life has been out there for everybody to see, and we embrace it. We don't run from it. We embrace it because that's who made us. So we've learned how to make love to the bad times just like we make love to the good times, right? And that's what keeps us going. And when people see that, I think we're more relatable that way.
And I also think too, creating a safe space. You know, all of us have been through the bullshit, the way the media can twist your words, or you say something and they use this much and put the rest of bullshit on it. So we've created a space where everybody knows through who we are, what we're about, that we're not trying to trick you into saying no dumb shit. We're not trying to get, we're trying to go viral because we had a deep conversation. Right. We're not trying to go viral for you trying to say dumb shit. And also able to create an environment where they feel comfortable. And you know, with our environment, when you come on All the Smoke set, we got music playing, we got food. If you choose to indulge in cannabis, we got plenty of that for you. If you want some wine or some alcohol, we got that. So we want to kick it and talk before the show starts. So when you get on set, like my whole idea when I came up with All the Smoke is everyone can relate. I feel like ladies, wherever your best conversations are, the nail shop or wherever, the man cave is where we have our best conversations. And I wanted to put a camera on that. You know, no matter who you are, the best conversations are kicking back watching the game. So how do you capture that and package it up and put it on TV? So that's what we felt like we've been able to do, is just create an authentic environment where we can humanize our guests. Like, you know, rest in peace, we keep saying his name. You know why Kobe was great hooping. But you didn't know, like Kobe told us, like, I don't want no one to remember me for my first 20 years. I'm like, motherfucker, you're a Kobe Bryant five-time champion, one of the greatest players ever. He's like, no, bro, watch this next 20 years in business.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just the opportunity to give people that safe space where they can come and find out and really tell people. I think my favorite thing on our show is when we talk to whoever, man, I've never told nobody this.
I love that, right?
And we're like, hell yeah, because they feel comfortable enough to share their authentic feelings. And we know on the flip side, that's what you guys really want to hear is real shit from some of your favorite people.
Yeah.
But even with that, Matt, hey, Stat, be careful saying love around this boy. He can get loose. He crazy as hell. But
you said bad love, good love, you just able to make love.
Huh?
You said bad love, good love, you just making love.
I'm able to make love to the bad times. Yes.
Just be careful. Yes. Be careful. Yes. You never know what changes.
Hey, we set these chairs up right.
No, but what jumped out, Matt, when you were speaking, what jumped out was you said safe space, environment, and media. And immediately in my mind jumped out being minority owned.
Mm.
You know, that's pretty important. Well, you can talk your shit and pretty much direct the conversation to where the culture can get it and they can understand. How important is that to you guys?
Oh, well, I mean, for me, that's my whole reason for being, right? That's why people love me, because I'm hood, because I've never changed, because from basketball to All the Smoke, I've been Steven Jackson. That's all, right? And me being my authentic self, me saying things that most people won't say, me jumping in front of things that might not benefit me, but me just having a big heart, all those things make me who I am. So I think the way we talk and being honest with ourselves, people want that. Like, they want that. But at the same time, if me saying that I'm a solid person, if me saying that there's nothing in my closet that you can bring out today to say I embarrassed myself, do I did anything, and I stand on that, then I have to speak that. I have to live that. I can't just be living one way and then come on the show and be a whole different person, because that's not what our culture is. Right? Our culture's been watered down and been showed one way for so long. That's why we always looking at TV like, that's not us. That's not our culture. But now we controlling our own narrative. Now we showing up in sweatsuits just how we supposed to show up, right? So that's why I think that's why we went in. That's why we got to be ourselves, because we can be successful and win looking like us. There's no dress code. There's no playbook. We create our own playbook. And that's what we show in the world.
And I think, too, on the flip side, for someone like me and Ryan, we can talk that side, but we can also put a suit and tie on and go on an ESPN and talk that other shit, too.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And be able to give you that Disney side of a real take. Because obviously, like Ryan said, Ryan, they were holding him out back in the Kaepernick days because he was too real for the platform he was on at that time. But on the flip side, if he would have had his pod at that time, he would have came and really kind of gave you that. So the versatility, we're all very versatile, and we can all speak, you know, to different topics.
Did y'all see this motherfucker that drugged me on Inside NFL?
You said what?
You drugged me on Inside NFL.
I didn't drag you.
No, he didn't drag me, but the opportunity was there because Ryan did what he did, and now I gotta wear a suit, and now I gotta do it right. I have no problem with that because I can switch over now.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, just the teaching part of this is that being able to be diverse.
Well, that's not your platform.
But
this is your platform, so you can do what you want here.
Yeah.
But people saw me here so long, for 3 years, almost 4 years, and then now I jump on Inside NFL, and I'm getting tweets and texts like, bro, you ain't cussing. Bro, you ain't doing this.
And I'm like, cuss.
But Channing,
I'm not allowed to cuss, but I am multifaceted to where I can be like y'all too. Y'all never gave me the opportunity because I'm a college dropout and I talk crazy all the time.
What'd you just say? You are what?
Multifaceted. I'm trying to teach this other light-skinned brother some big words.
I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna throw it that way. Somebody say they made you, but I digress. It wasn't RC. You're amazing, brother. Yeah. I just want to say you are amazing. You are.
We'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
I don't want him to get mad. Who said that?
No. Hey.
Did y'all look at him like you said that?
That's a whole different thing.
That's
just in this conversation and what we're here for. You talk about being able to—he's Mr. TikTok. That's what the kids call him. Yeah. We walk in the airport. That's the TikTok guy, and he's going viral more
TikTok?
Than any of us.
Dancing?
I don't even have a TikTok.
No,
all the people send out TikToks
colonies.
To me, and so the little young
nudist
kids,
they go viral.
They
right.
told my,
he always goes viral. But that's the beauty of technology, just taking it back there.
Yeah,
like everybody got this device in their hands, so they can see this guy. We land together. We fly together. They running Channing first. RC's on ESPN almost every day.
That's him.
He on Inside NFL Tuesday nights. But everybody runs to Channing.
Because the most attractive one on the stage is me right now.
Yeah, you might be.
He's probably second, but go ahead.
That's a light.
Listen, Red, I ain't gonna argue with you, Red. I ain't gonna argue with you, Red.
Well,
Bob. You stupid, dog.
Well,
you know, the other thing is, too, and I think, I always take the conversation from fun. I know, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You know,
it's what I do.
That's what I do. We know it's going in the right state.
I think, though, but Matt brings up a point that brings me to something else. You take what I dealt with this week, right? So I'm on TV and I got my suit on and we're talking football. And nothing in football brings me to anything that is about our culture. I'm not asked those questions. They want me to talk. They're asking me about the games, this and whatever it is. But on our platform, I addressed Brady Quinn attacking Deshaun Watson's character. Brady Quinn making the joke.
Not his first time either.
Not his first time. But I say that, and then you have people like Marcellus Wiley, right? And he comes out, and what he says about me is, because he's pandering to his crowd, well, I know he doesn't talk about this as much on ESPN, but on his own platform, you could see that he doesn't like white people. Right? That's what he said. And I was like, well, first off, I didn't say anything about that. I said, what I'm doing is, I said, if I feel like there is something that affects our culture on my platform that I own, I will talk about it.
I will address it. And if it's asked of me on their platform, I'm gonna say the exact same thing, and they're gonna have to figure out, do they want me to address it on theirs, right? It's not about, like, to me, it's not about, the importance isn't about being able to switch up and do both, because I could be 100% honest, all five of us could do that. You could sit around and talk about every motion and every movement on an offensive basketball court. Right? You can sit around and tell them, okay, if we're gonna play the man-to-man like this, or if we're gonna drop a zone, you could do that. If that's what you wanted to do. Fred could do the same thing. Like, we could do those things. You don't switch in any way to do that. It's that we don't control what's talked about on those.
Right.
We control this. I own this. You're not gonna tell me what I'm gonna talk about here.
Right.
Cause what I'm gonna talk about here is gonna affect us.
Right.
Right? And I think what's happened culturally is they feel like if I'm for us, I gotta be against them.
Yeah.
And that's not the truth.
Nope.
It's a way to be black and proud without demeaning another race.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of people don't get. That's what a lot of people get. I tell stories all the time about people from other races who I know love me more than some people my own color.
Yeah.
And they've showed it in real time. So I don't get caught up in that. I don't get caught up in that because just like you say, people be wanting you to say certain things. But if you're affected by it, they're not coming to save you. So the best thing is do best for you and worry about the people that surround you, your immediate family, and the people that care about you, the people that you support, the people that rely on you. A lot of people, when they have opinions, they don't have nothing, that nobody depending on them. You know what I'm saying? They don't have no responsibilities. And it's easy to say things to demean the next person when you don't have nothing going on.
How do you guys handle the response, talking to the Pivot Crew, the responsibility of knowing that you guys are trusted in the community and they lean on your words and live by your words and are motivated by your words and encouraged by your words? Like, how do you handle it? Cause that's a responsibility. It's something that happened with Jack too, when he was going through the George Floyd shit. I'm like, it's one thing being a leader on the basketball court, but now the world is looking at you. You led the biggest protest in the history.
Yeah.
You know, the whole United States, what, 16 countries?
18.
Like 18 countries. That's a whole nother responsibility when people are looking to you for life, not just sports. So how do you guys handle that responsibility?
Just being yourself. You gotta be your authentic self. I think we said it earlier. You know, I always go back to something I say all the time, exposure leads to expansion. You know, and you just speak to your experiences in life. You can't be phony. They'll see through that. You know, every time I see you, Jack, Stat, you, like, you speak from the heart.
All the time.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No matter what, you'll get on your IG, get on your live, and you just speak from the heart. You show love, you get hate, but you always know how to go back and pivot and communicate to that. But you stand firm. And I think once you do that, people will say, all right, this dude's solid. You know what I'm saying? I can't see through him. Ain't no BS that come with him. So I'm gonna rock with him. So I think the Pivot has done a good job at, they know what RC brings to the table. You know what I'm saying? For everybody that try to say, oh, ESPN has you doing this way. Nah, RC has a way to leverage that, but he speaks common sense. And the same with Channing. They know Channing gonna always be Channing and speak from the heart. And myself, I'm very observant and I'm calculated and I see how things is going, but I'm always give you me. At the very end of the day. So for us, it's simple. And that's the very reason we love our platform, because we get to do that. We own our platform, we get to do that. And nobody else can dictate or tell us what to do. We control post editing. You know what I'm saying? So this month, Alicia, what she does is beautiful. And she on the same shit we on.
I think and we all said it, like, be yourself. You can't paint nothing, you can't paint no pictures. Like you're saying, I think we grew up that way. Like, I think it's in you when you do that. But the one thing I think that we do, and I've seen that people try to do, I don't know if y'all seen it, is that people try to tell you about him and him about you.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Hey, what did Stack say? Hey, when Matt said this, what you think? Bro, we've been through so many things where people come up to me and be like, hey man, Ryan did this. And I'll be like, I got Ryan.
Period.
Every time.
Period.
Like, every time I'm every like, time. I got RC. And they're like, but what do you think about, what do you feel about it? You can say whatever you want right now. Yeah. I'm gonna take his side.
Period.
I'm gonna take Freddie's side.
That's the quickest way for me to know I don't need to be around you. Because I'm not going against him for nobody.
And that, I think that's, it's funny that y'all have that, because we've talked about it before, where that we have that, where I don't agree with either of them, but if you ask me about him,
there's no way I'm even leaning your way.
Right. Yeah, I tell them all the time, right. I'm with you when you're right,
yeah.
And I'm with you when you're wrong in public.
But I'm going to tell you when you're wrong, though, I have to say off to the side. I think, too, not to cut you off, Ryan, because Jack is, again, you guys can see it. He's emotional, he's real, wears his heart on his sleeve, but sometimes he wants to do and say stuff that is real from the heart, but also could be affect our platform. So he'll be like, bro, what you think about me saying this? I love it.
Because I know I can hurt us.
I think there's a place for it, but maybe not right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or maybe not this way. You know what I mean? And vice versa. So I think, too, to be able to trust your
partner.
And
it ain't no pride
partner.
In taking that and be like, okay, right, I won't. You know what I'm saying? There's no pride in that.
We just did it. What was it? With the Tua thing.
Yeah.
When he said Tua looked like a stripper from, what did he say? Tua looked like a stripper from, and I took it as you disrespected strippers. But what you say? What? I say ain't no bitch in that look like Tua. But he said something, and when it blew up, we got on the call, and I was like, bro, you know what I'm saying? People kidding me. Because I live in Miami, I do media in Miami, like, bro. I got you, but that was too far. And he was like, bro, I'm going to figure it out. Right. And then he called me, and I don't want to tell exactly, you know, say all the back work that happened.
Right.
He was like, yeah, bro.
Well, because everyone can't say that to him, but he loves and respects you, so he's going to listen to you.
It's a bunch of other conversations that we have to have with it, but it's really the respect of it.
Know why he could be like that? Because we had to start with him.
On the flip side, trying to save him from his Dak coming. He be going so
like
hard
he's
on
he's
Dak.
About Dak, man. No. Come on, man.
That's hey, talk your shit about Dak.
Fan, man. Now, you know when I crossed my leg. I'm about to go in.
Real conference calls, bro.
He would have known, man, rub my knees when I'm about to go in.
Let Dak make it,
man. You know, he the head of HR, too, for the pivot. So
I'm the head of HR.
That mean anything, bro.
I was about to say.
Y'all need
I get it now. I get it now.
He the head of HR. The thing, too, man, that like I love about these two is like they didn't change with the responsibility. Okay. I think that's the hardest part, right? I think, you know, the way that you continue to nurture the relationship is the same way you earned it, right? You know, you know how it is, man. Like if y'all became friends because of a certain thing and he switched that up, that's gonna affect your friendship.
Absolutely.
Right? That's gonna affect your relationship. And don't get me wrong, you know, like we had Michael Beasley and we didn't expect that. Right, it just happened.
Right.
And in the moment when it happened, that's when the pivot became the pivot. But then we did all of a sudden become for the people. And so now, don't get me wrong, like anytime we're thinking about expanding the brand, reaching, you know, other audiences, people look at us funny because it's like you for us, right? Now you've gone and done that. And there isn't that sort of grace of like, but we do understand that there are other stories that are important. There are the things, and we're gonna always be rooted, and that's gonna be our foundation.
Yeah.
But y'all grabbed us in 5 shows. We didn't know what the hell we was. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so like, that's the things that you just continue to do, man. And like this for us, we obviously just wanted to do a show with y'all. Period.
Ditto.
Like at some point, get an opportunity to sit with y'all. But I do think it's a testament that it happens this way.
Right.
That
shout
a platform,
out to DraftKings.
About to say, a platform like DraftKings says, we respect you, we respect them. You know what I mean? Let's
but
put them together.
That's huge. But that's huge. That's huge. You know, for these big corporations to come to us to get the message across. Yeah. You know what I mean? And again, it's a testament to what we've shown and how authentic and real we've been and the way we've been able to utilize our platforms and expand from that. And then like you said, not being able to put us in a box. We took a ton of shit because we did Will Smith's first interview after he slapped Chris. Oh, that's not your space. And
hey,
then
can you get my guy back on though and just ask him how he doing? Can you do a wellness check?
Well, because we did Jada after that.
Right.
We did Jada before she dropped her book and I never seen someone get so much. It was bad. You know what I mean? But I say all that
to
say
bad
like
me. Cause Jada, I was looking at Jada like Jason's lyrics. Like, the ducktail.
That's how I was looking. I was thinking Jason's lyrics the whole interview.
Stupid, dog. He ain't biting the lip.
He did. Hey, but it was mutual energy. I was in the middle, but the energy was flowing like
was
this, and I felt it both ways. I felt it. You know, but I say all that to say is like obviously. you know, we came up in a certain way, and yeah, we speak for this, but at the same time, you can't put us in a box anymore because we can step outside and speak to other things in other lanes that is about our culture as well.
Yeah.
I know we're taking up a lot of time, but we wanted to open it up for questions. If anybody has the questions, I don't know how we're supposed to. Are they gonna walk up to that microphone?
I had a quick question for y'all. How do you all think about going into corporate partnerships? Are there different metrics or different things that go in you all's mind and a checklist on partner with this brand, don't partner with this brand? This brand isn't aligned with our brand. This brand isn't aligned. Just talk to me about how y'all go.
I think what you said at the end is we've all fortunate enough now to think about it to turn down deals that don't align with what we believe and what we represent, regardless of the money. Because again, like I said, for us to be real and authentic and then align ourselves with a brand that contradicts ourselves, no matter what the money is, we're gonna take that hit and it's not worth it. So I think I know when I speak for Jack and I on All the Smoke, when we align with the brand, as funny as it may be, if we have to talk about Manscaped and shaving ourselves, like it's shit that we fuck with, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's brands that we can align and really use. So I throw the money out the window, and do I really align with the qualities of what this brand represents?
That's the answer, period.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they want to control your content, I don't know how you do. Yeah, you can't say no. You can't.
Can't do it.
You can't do it. We're going to talk, we're going to vibe. If you want to cut shit out of episode, 100%
of the IP,
it's over.
It goes back to the quality of what you put out.
Yeah.
You know, we look at what we put out, and we've heard from a lot of people that we got top-notch production, right? And Alicia, she's won 13 Emmys, and she always comes back. She always comes
Alicia,
back
we're
and
hiring.
Say,
good job, though.
If you got to put
she
this
high.
Here,
she
if you got to put this here and this here in the episode,
trust me, we can afford it.
It takes away from the quality,
right?
So we looked at deals. What we've turned down, especially in the first couple months, we were turning down six figures early on, and looking at each other like, what we just do? But we was like, fuck it, let's do it and let's bet on ourselves. Yep. At least the quality of our content. It'll grow, and then we'll be able to get it on the back end. So
you turned down that six figures for that eight or nine figure down the road because you're staying true and authentic.
Better believe it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
And also, too, the other thing, like when you listen to people answer questions, like you gotta have their backstory as well. Like we didn't get into this part of our careers broke, right? Like we aren't trying to take care of our families off of the first offer, right? We could play the longer game because we had ourselves set up in a different way, right? Like you can only turn down what you can afford to turn down. You know what I'm saying? Like if it's going to...
Honestly, nobody on this stage is worried about what they're eating Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So as we speak, like, you know what I'm saying? We can approach things differently because we're building a brand after we've already had a brand. And that's what I try to speak. A lot of young podcasters come to me and they ask me similar questions. And I'm like, you have to see what Freddie, RC, and myself, where we were when we started.
Yeah.
So like, hey, 100,000. And it's a lot of money, but it's like, you know, saying we can look further, we can look beyond, but it's there's different tiers where you live, and there's different areas where people are trying to grow, and we had a head start, I guess, what we did and where we came from.
Appreciate you.
One last thing, really quick, we didn't get into it thinking about the money. Like seriously, we got into it. We didn't know exactly how much money could be made.
Did y'all just become best friends?
Yeah, I think so.
We just got into it, and we kept going. Channing and I, we were trying to prove a point, and we had to pivot, and that's where the pivot comes from. And we couldn't have got a more perfect.
There we go. That's
partner.
It. That's it. Next question.
Me? So it was good shit.
That's it, because your ass get carried away.
Yo,
that's
sure.
It. Fred, I love you. That's it. Next question, big homie.
Yeah, what's up with it? Both your guys' podcasts are rocket ships right now. What's the goal for you guys? Where do you guys want to see this kind of end up? And not even just end up, where do you guys want to see it go in the coming years to come?
That's a great question. I can be honest, when they called me, when Chan called me and we FaceTimed for an hour and a half, I didn't know where it was going, to be honest. Like, I thought it'd be a dope opportunity. I think for me, it's about creating something that has a legacy, you know, because if you do really well, you're gonna make money, right? If you do really well, we might get to a point to where we could sell it if we feel like selling it at that point makes the most sense for us. But in owning my own platform, I want this to, like, I come from a sports background, right? Like the same way he talks about Kobe, that's how I want people to talk about us, right? I want people to say when something else is made, when three other young brothers or three young podcasters make a podcast and they start taking off, I want people to be like, man, this reminds me of the pivot.
Right.
Right? Like you could tell that they watch, like that's what it is. That's what it's about for me, man. Like I want to create the dopest content. I want to have the best space, but I want people, and I'm sure they do too, like, and I can be honest, like I look at what they do because they were in it before I got in it, right? Like I look at what they do, okay, this is how they set it up, like this is how people get comfortable, these are the stories they tell, right? Because I got to look at that to say, this is what people gravitate to. Now, how does Ryan Clark put his spin on that? And like at the end of it, I want people to be like, man, this was the dopest thing we ever saw, and it continued to evolve. And like everything has a shelf life. Like at some point, it's gonna be some other group of people, they want to hear more than us. But until then, man, I wanna always be doing this. I never wanna be here. Cause once we get here, we die.
Quickly, and this is a very, I guess it's a hippie-ish approach to things. I've been saying, what's my saying? Everything always gonna work out. When we started and we ain't making no money and we grinding and we in Vegas for a week and we're going to, what we going to them little bullshit, little young boy basketball games. And we going to clubs and like we walking up to people and be like, hey bro, you wanna jump on the pod? And we're like grinding to do it.
Yeah.
And things will go down and somebody will cancel on us and things will happen. And I said to everybody, be like, listen, everything always works out how it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And I told them that for years. So my thing, to answer your question, I don't know where it's going, but I know we have something special and it's gonna be exactly where God wants it to be in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. And I really, honestly, my wife's over here, my attorney's here, like they know I feel that way. Like everything happens exactly the fucking way it's supposed to happen. Just work real hard. And I've been saying that for years and that's my thing. And I know it's hippie-ish and it's very silly.
It's annoying as hell in the moment when you're trying to get him to do something though.
Where
you
bro,
like,
where you at, bro? Goddamn, we in the cup, bro. Everything gonna work out with me, bro. I'll be down there by 20.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah.
For real, y'all, first off, y'all voices are so important. Like, you give men the ability to share their feelings and be open about it, and I appreciate that. Legitimately, I appreciate that. Have any of you thought about loaning your voices to ownership in your respective sports? Like, we would love to see more black men in these rooms making these decisions and helping these teams out. Like, have any of y'all thought about joining ownership ranks?
I for sure have. Like, that's, you know, I have this 10-year plan, which is why this is going to have to end at some point. You know, first of all, I want to be a general manager, though.
Yeah, I was going
to
do
that. Right? Like, I want to make decisions. I want to be in a position to control who gets what opportunities. And I think so many times we look at the top opportunity, right? And we're saying that we don't have head coaches or, like you said, we don't have ownership and all of those things. A lot of the reasons we don't have those things is because we also don't get the entry-level opportunities as well, right? Those go to the cousin, right, or to Bill Belichick's son, right? Those go to the person that John Gruden can call Mike McCarthy and say, look, I can't hire him because they know he's in my family, but won't you put him on for me, right? We don't have people that are looking down the pipeline to make sure that it's equal opportunity. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not just hiring you. I'm not going to just put people in position based on how they look. I'm going to hire the best people. But what I want to do is to be able to develop the best people on an equal playing field. And so, like, that's definitely for me, like, that's the next step of what I want to do is get it to being an executive, be a general manager. And the final thing I want to do, I want to be an athletic director at HBCU. So that's my last job. When I'm done working and I'm done grinding and I want to sit somewhere and be there for a while, is get an opportunity to give the game that we learned a lot of times the hard way, that young brothers and young sisters feel like it's not worth learning because nobody will teach you, right? Have somebody say, no, I look like you, but I also understand in order to be what you want to be, you have to navigate the entire world, right? This little microcosm of the world isn't the whole thing.
Tell his whole rest of his whole fucking life. And when I get buried, I'm gonna get buried in New Orleans because my daddy and my grandmama in New Orleans.
God damn, man, we got a whole lot of motherfuckers waiting.
I'm not. Every show, dog. Every show, man.
So I love one of the things that you said about success doesn't have a dress code. I think that that's important for everybody in this room to really understand and embrace. But what is another key attribute that someone who is successful, you believe they should have?
Well, I mean, it's just confidence. At the end of the day, when you wake up in the morning, you have everything you need to be great. I think that we have poisoned the youth to have them thinking that they have to go to social media to get validation of who they are and how great they can be, right? If you wake up every day in the morning, look in the mirror and believe in yourself and have confidence in yourself, that's enough right there. So I've always been super confident. I come from a small town. I used to piss in the bed, right?
A you lot until he was like 13.
I used to piss. I used to piss in the bed.
You too?
He pissed on himself in games.
In games.
Oh, that's right. I've never heard about
that. I didn't
that.
Piss on myself in games. I was a grown man.
Y'all don't have no.
I was a grown man.
But y'all don't have no grass. We could piss on ourselves and get on the knee and the piss run down your leg. You just wipe it off with water.
But it's still
it
on you though.
Huh?
It's still on you.
Let me get back to that. Nah, but really just believing in yourself is really the first thing that you have to have, because they're not going to hire somebody that's not confident. They're not going to hire nobody that they don't believe in that can answer a tough question when they're not around.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or somebody who can handle the building when it's going down, right? They're going to hire somebody who can supplement that while they're gone. So you believing in yourself first and not expecting the world or people around you to tell you who you are, I think that's the first step to success.
And then I'll piggyback off Stack. I think it's about the follow-through. What Kobe said, you got to finish the job.
Yeah.
How many of us out here have had an idea? We sit on it, we say, all right, this is going to be amazing. And then we don't do shit the next day, right?
And then mad when someone else does it.
And then you mad when somebody else took my idea. So it's about the follow through, finishing the job. So if something jumps in your mind, you got to go through with it. All these so-called entrepreneurs, geniuses, and creatives, they just went the extra step to finish the job. It's a process. And once you complete that task, boom, you there.
It's like Nip said, man, he just ain't quit.
Yeah. He ain't quit, right.
All right, fellas, I got a question kind of off track of what they talking about. But as a former athlete, have y'all ever thought about interviewing or having on y'all show guys that not necessarily made it to the league, the guys that you played with, your brothers that played with in college, that had to transition into corporate America? Because as you know, you guys are part of the 1%, but there's another 10 to 20% of us that don't make it to the league, get kicked off practice squad or whatever, and have to find another avenue to go to be successful. So have y'all thought about bringing those guys onto the show to speak to that bigger demographic, to give those guys hope and an avenue and other avenues to find success?
You shooting your shot?
I mean,
I'm just saying. I mean, it's about opportunity. That's what the pivot is. It's the ultimate pivot. So holler at us. We'll see if we can put something together.
And we have.
So I'm gonna. Go ahead.
I was gonna say we have a show that just dropped today. A guy named Shea Cotton, who was one of the greatest high school basketball player ever, who didn't make it. And it's crazy the response and the feedback we've been getting from his story, because to further your point, there's 99% of you that don't make it. 1% of college athletes make professional ranks. That means 99% of athletes don't, which is insane. So we're the anomaly. The norm is the people who haven't. So to be able to speak to that audience, we feel like it's huge. So we started something on All the Smoke called Street Legends. Just guys that hooped, who were amazing, that didn't make it, but still were able to make something of themselves. And to me, I feel like those stories are more inspirational because they're more realistic.
No, I think it's what he said as well. The difficult part I've learned is finding the right story, right? Like somebody like Shea Cotton, I'm a big hoop fan. Like I know who Shea Cotton is. And so that story excites me, and that's something I want to learn about. And I don't know how it works for y'all. Like for us, we've brought on people who we thought were great stories. Like we had Myron Rowe on, right? Myron Rowe never became, he never made an actual game roster, but he was a Rhodes Scholar. He was a college All-American. You know, he's now a brain surgeon. Wow. And to us, like that was like, that's an amazing story. Yeah, you didn't make it in the league, but it doesn't matter. Like your calling is so much bigger. You know, he was in all of these different hospitals during COVID, and we did get a good response from the people that watched it. I've learned that if people don't feel a connection to a guy, like if you can't build it to make them really want to dive in it, so many people actually miss that message. You know what I mean? But if we tell you we got The Rock on, 4 million of y'all show up. You know what I mean? And like, and that is like that is the thing is we'll get, well, why don't y'all do this? Oh, no problem. Like, we'll do a mental health show, period. To talk about mental health, we'll bring somebody on that wasn't a popular player, but is huge in the mental health space, and then people don't watch it. And so I think you know, like, we're still going to do those things, but if you're going to, like, want those questions and want those types of shows, we also have to support.
So y'all talked about being role players when you were kind of going into pivoting to your second career. I guess, were there any other options that you had before you landed on the podcast? And then I'm sure, as we all know, when you're breaking into a field that doesn't necessarily look like we all do, like, were you nervous that this, were you ever unsure that this was your lane?
Well, when All the Smoke was first started, I mean, it was about to start, they wasn't sure on me, to be honest. We came up with the idea, they're like, who is Jackson? What is this? He gonna beat people up every episode? Is he gonna come in here with a 40 and some Dickies and a pistol? Like, no. And that was like, nah.
And he did.
But nah. So, I mean, I think for us, we both were doing TV at the time. And me and Matt always hang out. We brothers. A lot of people don't know. We came close when his mom passed from cancer. So that's when we really built our relationship. So doing the show was the conversation about building the show wasn't really a long conversation. Like, doing a show together, of course we'd do it, you know. But he made this happen. You know, he knew the right people. He called the right people. So I believed in everything he was going to do, right? Did I know our podcast would be where it's at today? No. But I believed in it. Right, I couldn't have told you that at the time, but in my mind, yeah, we gonna make it there, right? So you gotta believe in yourself, because if you don't, nobody else will.
My dude's on the pivot too, RC. Hit me, RC. I know you, ESPN broadcaster.
I'm not supposed
so you might
answer
be different.
No, man,
you gotta get this motherfucker talk too long. It's 17 motherfuckers behind here. We been at 12 at night. Did we know? Okay, well, I got out. Nobody knew what we was gonna do. I started. To the way, like RC, and you did media before you retired?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before, yeah. So, like, some dudes know they transition. So, RC was doing media before he retired. He was on TV, Matt and them.
Yeah,
Freddie just Fred chill all day. Freddie just chill all fucking day. But no, he do a lot of stuff. But no, I didn't know I was going to podcast. Like, I'm all entertaining and mess around and play like I do now. And that's why I keep that level. Like,
need
I keep
it.
That thing.
Need it.
Because I know what I am. I know why people ask me to be on their podcast. I know why 1,000 people text me every day to come on the show. Because I just talk fun. So I didn't know what I was going to do after football. And then once I retired, I was sitting around. And my wife was like, you going back to play. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she was like, what you gonna do? So I bought 3 boats and I was gonna fish all day. I swear to God, I had a bass boat, I had a splash boat, and I had a deep sea boat. And I was like, I'm gonna just fish all day. And that shit got boring. So then I went back to the radio station and I started doing a couple shows and all. But I didn't know I was gonna do the media, but then I saw I was good at it and I just kind of transitioned and kept working. But you never know what you're gonna do, because I was a college dropout. Like, I left as a sophomore. So, like, just find your passion and work on it is my ultimate message of what I'm saying, because I never knew I'd be sitting on stage with these 4 amazing people and talking about podcasting or talking about media and all that stuff. But it happens. But, like, they were just saying, just grind and work.
That's a long time, bro.
Fuck you.
Okay.
Chan, I got a question. You keep saying college dropout, but you went to the league after your sophomore year, right?
Yeah.
I dropped out.
That's not a dropout,
that's
bro.
That's a dropout.
No, it's not. You went to the league.
I have 36 credits at Florida.
Me too. Left or total?
2 years, 36 credits.
I got 36 left.
I get in college 36 times and failed in all 36 times.
Man, so sorry, guys. We only have one more. I apologize.
But just quick, they put me in chemistry. I said, man, y'all can kiss my ass. Y'all know how hard chemistry is?
I do. I passed it.
I dropped that 3 times. I took social dance twice. I took bowling twice. And I took golf.
Just get him on the football field.
That's what they said. Get this big nigga out here.
He gonna do it right for you. Go ahead, ma'am.
How do you guys stay humble yet motivated despite accomplishing so much?
I don't ever feel like it's enough. To be honest, I think what happens is people focus on success as a destination and don't focus on the work as a journey, right? So when you look at the process of getting to anything, like the progress that you make every day, like those are the wins, right? And think about what Matt just said. They started a podcast. Because the podcast has done so well, because they own it, now they're moving into a production company. Now they're gonna bring people on, which are the same conversations that we've had, the same conversations I've had with our producer, right? Like, I'm in making my next deal with ESPN, like, you're gonna have to give me a 30 for 30, right? I'm gonna have to produce that, right? Mm. You're gonna have to give me an ESPN Plus show series, and like, that has to come with what I'm doing. Mm. But
when I started, that wasn't my goal. Because I couldn't ask for it because I wasn't ready for it, right? But once you work at something and you work to try to master that, which we never truly, you work to try to master that, now it's like, okay, what's the next step that the hard work that got me here affords me? And now, because I've earned myself or earned opportunities into those next rooms based on my work, I now take that same work ethic into that. And where does that lead me? And so I think that's what it always is. It's always evolving. It's always the next step. And should you like be excited about your wins? For sure. You are blessed to have those wins. But what happens, like if we stop trying to win, we die. And I'm not ready to die.
And it's not hard to stay humble anyway, because like we're human beings. We just like y'all. We go through ups and downs. We kids, you know, school, car wrecks, rushing to the hospital. We deal with real life stuff too. So we have to be prepared for that too. And things happen every day of our life, so we can never get complacent, because we are protectors and providers. And we feel like it's always going to be somebody we can help. So if we get complacent, that one person that might need some help, we might not be able to help them. So that's why we got to keep going.
And these people help me too, though. Like, when I watch him succeed, and then every time I see him, he's exactly the same way. Like, that humility, to me, makes me say, like, that's what it's about. If he gonna dap me off, always be the same dude I met years ago, I think those are the sort of people that continue to show you that it doesn't have to change because you're being blessed, because in truth, it ain't really us.
Right. Mm.
I think too, it's, we're so lucky still. You know what I mean? We've all been retired for a number of years and people still wanna take pictures and talk to us. I mean, when I first got here, they're like, Matt, the VIP is upstairs. I came right in here and started shaking hands and taking pictures with people, because I feel lucky to be able to do this. It'll be 7 years in June since I retired, and I'm as big as I've ever been as a business and as a person.
That's good.
So to continue to just think, man, I'm lucky that these people still want to hear me talk. These people want to take pictures with me. Some of the girls in here was trying to flirt with me. It's a blessing though. You know what I mean?
For us to.
It's a blessing though, just again, to really be able to stay relevant after you're done, because we're so much about what are you doing for me lately and what are you doing now. For us to all be older, retired people and still have an audience is a blessing.
Is your hair like this if it's not dreaded though, Chain?
What?
No. Is your hair it's like that? I'm gonna answer that question.
No. He ain't Puerto Rican. I don't know what it is.
That's Italian and black.
Yes, sir. There you go. There you go, Troy.
Hey, they're like a coat.
There you go, Troy. Hey, that nigga got a big square head. I don't know what he was doing. I have a quick answer to that question. That nigga got a big ass square head. That been related to Zach Thomas.
Hey, man, go ahead.
Quickly,
man.
I'm sorry. Hey, I think about it like this. Life is a hill. I honestly think about it this way. Life's a hill. You're either climbing or you're falling back. If you're not working, you're going to fall. Think about standing on the hill. If you stop, you're going to fall backwards. So you're either driving forward or you're falling backwards. And that's how I think about life. To answer your question, man.
Well, we appreciate y'all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.